Okay, that was the First Nations dancers at the grand entry to the 2007 Treaty 4 commemoration at Fort Qu'Appelle, Saskatchewan, in case you were wondering.
That's great. Thank you for teeing all this up, Jim. I'm glad you're able to do this at the controls, because I struggle with that a bit at times. But
easy chord.
Before, so, you know, before the break, we were fortunate to have Shannon share her knowledge and experience relative to treaties, and I think that's so worthwhile for people to be able to hear. One of my personal hopes for the Human Rights Radio program is that in the future we're going to be able to have other programs, and just generally speaking, the idea I've had is that we could call them conversations about treaties, because I think there's so much opportunity for all of us to learn more and to share understandings of what treaties mean. I personally would not have had the experiences that young people in our school system, and say who are in elementary school today in Saskatchewan, have, where I know that in elementary school, young people learn about treaties and what they mean. And I had the experience of visiting one class, or actually school in Regina in June, early June this year, and all the students had been learning all through the year about treaties. And, you know, it was exciting. Even I was there with university students, you know, people who are much younger than I am, and you might think would know about treaties, and yet the elementary school students were able to tell our university students about what the significance of treaties are. And, you know, I think that's something that we all, frankly, need to spend time learning about. I'm not happy about my lack of knowledge, and I think it's all of our responsibilities. So, Shannon, thank you for the information you did share before the break, and certainly if at this point you want to, you or Katrina want to comment further on that and the idea of doing more programs, that would be just great.
I think it's a possibility. We between the two of us, know people within the community that can be pulled and asked to come take part. There's not just us as students that can speak on this.
Right.
There are others. I can't name them, because
sure.
If I do,
yeah.
I will commit them to something that's yeah. not fair to
right.
them.
Right.
So I think it would be just more fair to say that I believe we could do this. This is something that I can partner with.
Mm-hmm.
For the lack of a better any better words, I guess, the partnership between Amnesty and International and our little student initiative, that I guess you could say, is the fact that we are excited about it. We are happy to ensure that we can help bring this type of information to the public, and also not just give an opinion, but I'm hoping it brings education to people.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're in a place right now in Canada where I believe if we educate one another rather than slinging accusations,
right.
then maybe, just maybe, we're going to find common ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen, I shouldn't say that. I have seen positive things happen this year. Eighth Fire on CBC has opened up the conversation, opened up the doors to saying, okay, we all know wrong happened.
Mm-hmm.
We all know this happened. We all know what the history is. How about let's pull forward and have a positive conversation? And I think that's one of the main bases that we're trying to pull for,
mm-hmm.
is to start having the positive conversation be ongoing, mm-hmm. rather than the negativity that has been carried on for so many years.
Great. Thanks, Katrina. And Shannon, I was wondering, there is another date. I know that September 13th is the anniversary of the adoption of the Universal Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. But there's a couple days later, September 15th, is also another significant date, and that's Treaty 4
Days.
It is
the Treaty 4 Days, yes. The Treaty 4 Days will be held in Fort Qu'Appelle from the Friday, which is usually the 14th, we usually have our annual powwow. But throughout the week, We have treaty talks and elders and specific leaders, you know, our leaders in our communities come out and they talk on treaty issues and treaty governance. So that'll also be taking place during that week. Anybody who is would like to attend, you know, there is no fee there. Everyone is welcome. No matter your age, race, or standard, you guys are all welcome to join us and to be a part of our celebration.
And if people wanted to find out information, I'm sure it's on the Tree 4 website probably about
yes.
the details of the schedule and where it is physically when you get to Fort Capel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard to find. I know if people haven't been there but they've sort of been by Fort Capel, they might wonder, oh, how do I get to where all this happens, but it's not hard to find at
all. It's not hard to find. Actually, it's off the number 10 highway. When you're going east, where you actually turn off to your right, there's a giant building. It's actually the Parkland Regional College. They have this giant teepee, right? And you can see it. It's white. It's like the biggest building that you will see when you come down the hill. The treaty grounds are actually right across from the Parkland College. And what makes it really interesting is actually where the treaty grounds are is actually the original place where the Treaty 4 was signed in 1874. So it's also historical ground. So that's pretty exciting.
Wow. Okay. So I personally encourage people who have never, you know, taken the time to participate in Treaty 4 Days to consider that. It's a good learning opportunity, and it's a good way to spend a Saturday if you want to head out to the powwow. So, you know, probably at this point in the program, it's worth us turning from the local to the international, if we can put it that way, because we're working together on a project where a photo exhibit about the situation with respect to the indigenous people in Colombia are what they're facing currently. And the photo exhibit is very, very impressive. It's actually just arrived here in Regina. We've got large banners. They're going to be on display starting Thursday at the First Nations University, and we're so appreciative of that. So people will be able to go out and take a look at that. But the banners are more than photos. They tell a story, and what we thought we'd do is take turns kind of here sharing a little bit about what the banners are all about. And really, these words are in the words of the indigenous peoples of Colombia. Their messages from the indigenous peoples of Colombia, because literally they are at literally at risk of annihilation. And there's a reason for that, but just as a bit of background, there are 102 distinct indigenous nations in Colombia, and a third of them now are at risk of physical or cultural destruction, and that's because they're in the middle of a brutal violence linked to ongoing armed conflict and the imposition of development projects, I guess another way of describing that is mining projects primarily, on their resource-rich territories. And this exhibit of photography was done by a Colombian who visited many of the affected communities as part of a collaboration between the National Indigenous Organization of Colombia and Amnesty International Canada. And the people in the photographs asked not to be named because of the danger involved. They did, however, want to speak directly to Canadians and face-to-face and share with us their heartfelt and handwritten messages. So that's what you'll see when you visit the First Nations University and see the banners and the photography. The portraits are a testament to the courage and dignity of indigenous people who face great risk as they struggle to protect their very survival. And there are lots of messages within the various pictures. Clearly, the people have been threatened, attacked, raped, and killed by all of the combatants because there is a long-term conflict going on in Colombia. That includes by state security forces, but also paramilitaries who often collude with them, and insurgents. And in the last 10 years alone, this is just incredible when you think about it, in the last 10 years alone, more than 84,000 indigenous people have been forced to flee, only to face other threats that come with living far away from the territory that is indispensable to their culture, identity, and livelihoods. So at that point, I'd like to turn it over to Shannon and Katrina, who are able to share some more of the messages.
Well, the banner that I'm holding right now is actually of a woman who's painted, and she has a message. She's holding this message, and what it says, you know, it translates from her indigenous language to English, and what she says is, "Insurgent groups made members of my family disappear." So there's a little epithet or a little paragraph underneath, right, and it talks about how she's recounting her two relatives and how they were taken away by the armed surgeons, and they were, you know, forced, there was forced put on her relatives. She never saw them again, and so I guess, you know, that was one of her messages. The next slide I'm holding is another woman, and she's saying, "We reject the presence of armed groups on our reserve. We demand the right to life with dignity." And it says again underneath this, "Colombia's Constitutional Court has concluded that 34 indigenous nations, including the Wayuu, are at risk of physical or cultural extermination due to the impact of armed conflict and forced displacement. The court called the situation an emergency which is as serious as it is invisible. It has ordered the Colombian government to take immediate action to protect against the rights and survival of these people, yet they remain in grave danger." The final slide I'm holding is another woman, and she's holding her message in front of her, and this one states, "No more exploitation of natural resources, yes to life." And it is a Wayuu woman, and it says, "Imposition of rescue extraction projects in indigenous territory has coincided with reports of contamination and health problems, as well as the militarization of violence. When indigenous communities protest to oppose such projects, they face death threats, abductions, and killings. Colombia's armed conflict has been used as a cover to take over high-resource-rich land, often inhabited by indigenous peoples, leading to a mass displacement as they flee the violence." Wow. That is insane.
I think what I find is the running thread throughout the entire exhibit is that we all can relate to this. Mm-hmm. As First Nations people, we have had our lands taken and used in such a way that our resources aren't as up to par as they used to be. We have situations where within the exhibit, one of the ladies says, "We want to live in peace on our reserve." We have those situations going on. We have other situations where ancestral territory isn't being respected, and exploitations of our land are happening also along with ours. And I believe that if you come out and see this display yourself and see it face to face, I think you can find a connection not just with yourself, but also with how we can relate to them. Mm-hmm. Because we as a people, as a First Nations people, are in some ways spiritually called and in a human rights way called to support people when they are in this kind of need. Mm-hmm. And I believe that if you would like, you could come and see the display. It will be at FNUC. One of the things that I would like to read off is the last slide that's here. "When an indigenous people disappears, a whole world is extinguished forever, along with its culture, spirituality, language, ancestral knowledge, and traditional practices. The survival of indigenous peoples with dignity is in all of our hands. And something I was taught this summer was if we lose our language, our culture, we lose the rights to our land. Mm-hmm. And if we aren't helping others to keep to retain their rights to their land, then we've almost failed other people also and ourselves. And I think that's why human rights is something that we need to have a discussion about, maybe even have action placed into it and take some time and put in some understanding so that we can be part of the conversation, not just on a national or a local level, but also on an international level.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, Katrina, as you were just talking, I was thinking how well that pulls it back to the earlier conversation we were having about the importance of the anniversary of the actual declaration of, or the adoption of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, because there are articles within it specifically that refer to the right to Métis people's language and culture. I mean, that's just one of the articles, but it's so connected, and I'm glad you referred to that, and because it brings it back so well to the beginning of the program. So the plan is to have, as I said, that whole photo exhibit on display at the First Nations University. You know, those of us who are here in Saskatchewan, and particularly in Regina, can be so proud that it's here in Regina. And the photo exhibit will be available to people here to see for at least a month, if not longer. And I can tell you that as on the very same day we're going to be putting the exhibit up, Thursday, September 13th, it will also be at other events across Canada, in Toronto, Vancouver, in Ottawa. The national leader of the Indigenous Peoples of Columbia will be visiting Ottawa, and so there'll be a large event there, and it will be very exciting in terms of creating awareness of what's happening, and absolutely crucial, because, you know, Canada actually has a relationship, they call it a free trade relationship agreement with Colombia. And one of the concerns is, you know, we've got these trade relationships, but do they call for, within them, a respect for human rights of Indigenous peoples? And part of the other piece is we want people, when they visit and see the photo exhibit, to be aware that there are appeals that they can pick up, little postcard appeals that can be sent to the Government of Colombia. And also another one that is a petition that's addressed to the Honourable Minister of Foreign Affairs, John Baird, our Minister of Foreign Affairs in Canada. And it's simple. It just says, "Minister, dear Minister John Baird, the Indigenous people in Colombia are in extreme danger. The Colombian Constitutional Court has concluded that at least," and this is what Shannon was referring to earlier, 34 distinct nations are on the verge of utter destruction as a result of armed attacks and being forced from their lands. And the court has ordered emergency measures to protect Indigenous peoples and ensure they live safely on their own lands. And we call on you to use Canada's special relationship with Colombia to press for the full compliance with the court ruling and ensure that the Indigenous peoples of Colombia receive full protection of their rights. So that's what the call for support is all about, and please take the time to visit the First Nations University. We're getting close to the end of the program, I think, and one of the things I wanted to do is as well is just to take a few minutes before the end of the program and share again the information about an amnesty conference that we'll be having. It'll be a Saskatchewan provincial conference. It's open to anybody who shares our interest in human rights work. We will, as people will be aware, work on a variety of human rights issues. It'll be Saturday, October 13th, all day. It'll be held physically at Luther College at the University of Regina. And it's free to attend. And all you need to worry about is if you want to pick up some lunch and bring some money for that, it'll be available. There's going to be a variety of workshops and guest speakers. The president of Amnesty International Canada is coming, Sarah Beamish. She's the elected president of AI Canada. Also, our campaigner, Hillary Holmes, who works on all the areas around human rights relative to post-911, something that Katrina was referring to earlier in terms of when you first became interested in human rights issues. And also she's going to be helping with a workshop relative to the Middle East and events in Middle East and North Africa in the last year. We have other workshops that I think people will find very interesting. One is around using social media on terms of accomplishing our human rights work. Another one is a workshop on refugee issues within Canada. We've got some great resource people for that one. An activist from Winnipeg is coming over, an Amnesty activist, who will be sharing what they've done in that city and helping us connect about ideas. That workshop's called Creative Activism, and people will find that lots of interest in that. And, of course, we're going to be doing one on something that Amnesty and other organizations have spent lots of time over in the last few years, and that's around the a workshop that we're describing as a discussion or a panel roundtable on the work that needs to be undertaken to stop the racist and sexist attacks on Indigenous women in Canada and how we move forward with that campaign. So there's a variety of things that we'll be working on and during that whole conference. And after that, there might be about a four-week gap, and I know Katrina and Shannon, you're working on plans for a conference that you're hoping, or an evening, maybe not a conference, but an evening discussion on the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, and if you want to speak to that at all. I know maybe at this point some of the plans are still in formation, but that's okay if you want to just share some of your thinking about it.
I think what makes me so not just excited but looking forward to all of this is because in the beginning, it was a professor that came up to me and said, I want to challenge you students to try and pull together something. And it evolved into not just working with Amnesty International. It also evolved in now we're forming a website. Now we're also trying to put forward, hopefully, being able to get other students involved with the website to put forward writings, photos, art, anything that they believe that will project human rights in a positive manner. And I think what the most best part about it is that this is something that my personal push for is to see it relate to people in such a way, in an everyday language way, rather than us coming from a law or an educational perspective. And For us, we were hoping to launch the website at the art installation, but we didn't have enough time.
Sure.
So we're going to do it in November.
Right.
And for the speakers, all I can say is the one speaker that we do have nailed down, I'm so happy he's coming. His name is Reggie Newkirk. He's one of my mentors. He is such a fantastic, he has you want to talk a walking, talking encyclopedia on human rights, go to him.
Yeah.
He is so one of those people that you want to be mentored by.
He's been on the show.
Yes, and I love talking with him. If I can have an hour just sitting and talking to him about human rights, I will, and I'll do it. And I've done it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I'm just really excited about having. And we are going to continue to plan and do what we need to do. There's going to be a forum discussion. We're hoping Craig Benjamin will be a part of it. And we're hoping for good things to come. And we want this to progress, not just from this year, but also into years to come also.
That's great. And you know, I'd encourage everybody to stay tuned on that, because there's going to be some exciting developments, I'm sure, in the next few weeks that we can share on the program even in the future. So, Shannon, did you have anything else that you wanted to share before the end of the program?
I'd just like to say I would love to encourage all you listeners out there to pick up the United Nations Declaration of Indigenous Peoples. I would like to encourage all of you guys to come out to our venues and to come check out the display. I would also like to challenge the general public to educate themselves and to approach this issue of human rights to, you know, apply it to their daily thinking and to, you know, rethink, to somehow expand their minds a bit and to be open, you know, to approach these issues with an open mind and an open heart.
That's great. How are we doing, Jim? Are we at the end of the program now? Or?
We're into our last minute here now.
Okay. Yeah. So you do a little wind-up at the end of the program. So.
We'll wind it up here right now, and we'll close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio. We hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For info on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."